Let's clap. One, two, hey.
Hello and welcome to Our Hope. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew, and you heard that music, Praise. Let's get our praise on as we celebrate the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Welcome to this wonderful program, and I pray it will encourage you. But let's continue with that song, Praise. Dear God, we thank you for everyone that's listening. Help us to remember the power of praise. I pray for an anointing and power. This will be a great study, a great time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
praise is telling God who he is. And you heard it really loud and clearly there. They were praising God. Today's music, we're going to transition now, and the rest of the music will be a lady who has written praise music and recorded on YouTube, where it's word for word from the King James Version, and it's put to music, and many of them are psalms. So most of the psalms in the Bible actually were songs to be sung. Songs help us remember the scriptures. Songs are so powerful. So be blessed by her music as she gives us a meditation through the music on the Holy Scriptures. Let's listen to some of those right now.
Mighty hath done to me great things. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And holy is his name. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And holy is his name. And holy is his name, and holy is his name.
The first one was Our Father. Obviously, it was a prayer. And the second one was My Soul Does Magnify the Lord. That comes from Luke, and that was what Mary said after she's talking to Elizabeth, and she was expressing her praise of God for being the one who Jesus would be born to. So powerful. Today's program, we're going to be in John chapter 4, so if you want to get your Bibles there, really an amazing story. I just can't tell you enough. It's just amazing. I keep saying that, but it is. In John 3, Jesus is talking to a religious leader, but in John 4, it's a completely different type of individual that he talks with. And we're going to go through that chapter, most of the chapter, today. Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you met Jesus Christ? No one is beyond saving. Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you and rose from the dead. And if you'll just believe in him, you will have life eternal. A lot of us have heard about Tim Tebow. He was a former college star. He played a couple years in the NFL, not that great. He didn't win a playoff game. I believe he's the last Denver quarterback to win a playoff game. There's a really neat story I heard him share about John 3:16, and I believe you're going to be blessed by it. He tells it in such a great way and shows the power of God. So without further ado, enjoy the Tim Tebow John 3:16 story after this song. God bless.
When I was at the University of Florida going into my junior year, we were getting ready to play a rival, and I was in the training room and I was getting stretched by one of our trainers, and I looked over and I saw some of my teammates putting eye blacks under their eyes. And so I started to think, you know, they're like putting their mom's name or their area code and different things like that. And so I started to think, you know, I wonder if I could put an eye black and grab a silver Sharpie and put something on there that could be encouraging or inspiring or, I don't know, uplift somebody. I started to think, well, what should I put? And I started to think, well, God bless. And I was like, I don't know. And then I thought of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I was like, that's an awesome verse for a football player. That's what I'm going to go with. So I put Philippians 4:13 under my eyes, and we went out there and played. And honestly, it really wasn't a big deal. A couple local newspapers wrote about it, but it wasn't that big of a deal. But I kept wearing it under my eyes every single week. And as most of you know, fans in the SEC, you're extremely passionate about your teams. And so the next couple of weeks, they start selling it at the Gator bookstore, on the sides of the street. They're selling Philippians 4:13, and like I'm seeing fans, and they're like, all right, go, you know, go Gators, Philippians 4:13. I'm like, you don't even know what that means. I actually had one guy come up to me, his name was Phil, and he said, did you put that under your eyes for me? No, what does the 4:13 mean? But I kept wearing it under my eyes the entire season, and we get to the SEC championship game against Alabama. Calm down. And we're getting ready to run out of the tunnel. And as a football player, so often, it is really tunnel vision. It's the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. You can't afford to step back and look at the big picture because you can just lose focus. So many times it's just locked in to the next thing we have to do. Well, at this moment, I really felt like God was putting out of my heart to change the verse. I was like, really, right now? But I kind of stepped back for a second and realized that if we won, we'd be playing in the national championship. And that would be maybe the biggest stage that I would ever get to change the verse and put something meaningful on there. So we were blessed to win. In the next 6 weeks leading up to the national championship game, I was contemplating, really agonizing over what verse I was going to go with. But God kept bringing to my heart and my head John 3:16. Because as a Christian, that's the essence of our Christianity. It's the essence of our hope. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what we believe in as Christians. So I decided that's the verse I'm going to go with. So two nights before the game, I go into my parents' hotel room in Miami, Florida, and they open the door, and I was like, all right, mom, dad, I'm going to change the verse. And my mom's super supportive, and my dad's like, have you told Coach Meyer? Because Coach Meyer says he just likes his routines, but that dude is so superstitious, it's ridiculous. If we win with long socks, next week they're even longer. So it's just whatever is working, he's going to stick with it. So he was like, you really need to talk to him. So next day we have our walkthrough. After the walkthrough finishes, I was like, hey, Coach Meyer, can I talk to you? He's like, yeah. He's like, how's your arm, your leg? You feeling good? You got the game plan down? Yeah, I'm good. You know the verse I wear in my eyes? He's like, yeah, Philippians 4:13. I love it. I was like, well, I'm going to change it tomorrow night to John 3:16. What? What are you talking about? You can't change the verse. That verse got us here. I was like, no. So I explained to him why I wanted to go with John 3:16, and he understood, and he was supportive. And honestly, really after that moment, I didn't really think about it. Next night, I just went out there, and we were blessed to win the national championship. And 2 days after that game, I was sitting in Ballyhoo Restaurant eating grouper with my mom, my dad, one of my aunts, and Coach Meyer. And Coach Meyer gets a call from our PR guy at Florida, and he's like, All right, bye. I looked at him. I was like, what's that all about? He told me who it was, our PR guy, and he said, Tim, he just told me that during that game, 94 million people Googled John 3:16. And honestly, my first thought was, how the heck do 94 million people not know John 3:16? It's like it's Sunday school, bro. That's the first thing you hear. But it was just so humbling for me sitting in that restaurant thinking about how big the God that we serve really is. Like really, how big the God that we serve really is. So many times we put him in a box. We put him in a box. But no, the God that loves us, the God that created us, the God that has a plan for us, the God that wrote a poem about your life, he is a big God that wants to do amazing things. And when we just turn around and say, hey, here, God, might not feel like a lot. Guess what? He can perform miracles. He can do amazing things. And I really believe the God that we serve wants to do amazing things in us and through us. What was really cool about that game is it was on January 8th of 2009. Well, exactly 3 years later, January 8th, 2012, exactly 3 years later to the day, We just happened to be playing the Pittsburgh Steelers in the first round of the playoffs. I didn't think of John 3:16 one time, so I can't take credit for it. I had nothing to do with it. I just went out there and tried to do anything I could to try to win a playoff game, and we were blessed to win this crazy game in overtime. And after the game, when we were done celebrating, I changed really quick, and I was going down the hall to do my press conference, and I was really looking forward to it because I love talking to the media. And so I was getting ready to turn left and go into these curtains to talk to the media, and Patrick, our PR guy, steps in front of me. He says, "Timmy, did you realize what happened?" And I was like, "Yeah, we just beat the Steelers. We're going to play the Patriots. Like, let me do this." He was like, "Timmy, did you realize what happened?" I could tell he was being serious. So I was like, "Patrick, what's up, man?" He looks at me and says, "Timmy, this is exactly 3 years from the time you put John 3:16 into your eyes." I was like, "Oh, really? That's awesome. That's really cool." He says, "No, you don't realize. During the game, you threw for 316 yards. Your yards per rush were 3.16. Your yards per completion were 31.6. The time of possession was 31.06. And the ratings for the night were 31.6. And during the game, 90 million people Googled John 3:16, and it's the number one thing on all social media right now." And I was just standing in that hallway thinking, "God, I didn't know that you were doing anything. Like, I thought that was like 3 years ago." But it's amazing how big the God is that we serve. He took something that I did 3.5 years ago to make a decision, put Philippians 4:13, and then change it for one game. But I thought, "Hey, this is really cool. We impacted some people, but it's done." But no, God has an awesome plan. He has an awesome plan, and you might not even see what he's doing. You might not even know how he's working. But the amazing thing is when we step out and we show a little courage, we step out and we show a little boldness, what God can do with it in our lives, through our lives. But he's a big God. He's a big God, and he can perform miracles. He can perform miracles. I really believe that he wants to. You have to understand, the God of this universe loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. If he loves you that much, is he not gonna wanna fight for you? Is he not gonna wanna fight with you? Is he not gonna wanna come through for you? Now, that doesn't mean that life is gonna be easy. It's not, but it means that it's gonna be worth it. It means that it's gonna be worth it.
Storm clouds gather overhead and shadows fill my way. Your light breaks through the darkness spread, turning night to day. You're my anchor in the storm, my shelter from the rain. Your love keeps me safe and warm, your grace remains. Hope eternal strong, like the morning sun, faith and shaken heart song, till your kingdom comes. You're my fortress, you're my guide, through every trial I face. With your spirit by my side, I'm standing in your grace. Every promise that you made is written in the stars. Your faithfulness will never fade. You heal our broken hearts. When mountains seem too high to climb, you give me wings to soar. Your perfect love and peace divine open every door. In your presence I am free. Your mercy makes me whole. Your love is all I need to restore my soul. Final corn is strong like the morning sun. Faith unshakable. fortress, you're my guide. Through every trial I face, with your spirit by my side, I'm standing in your grace. I'm standing in your grace.
With that, let's jump into John 4 and have our Bible study. Do you have your Bibles open to John 4? Also, if you check By the Bible, that's the YouTube channel I'm running, and I would love it if you would check it out. Some really good content on there. John chapter 4, let me read it, and we'll just talk about it. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must need to go through Samaria. Jesus is not the one baptizing, but something happens when they start hearing about all these people that Jesus' disciples are baptizing under the direction of Jesus. He leaves to go. He leaves from Jerusalem. Jewish people didn't go through Samaria. There were different type of race, different type of people. But Jesus had to go. And I think one of the purposes of John 4 is to show salvation is for everyone. Salvation is for everyone. Verse 5. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob, where we get Israel. And then Joseph was one of his sons, so this is just a marker they would have known about. It says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, set thus on the well, and was about the sixth hour, so about noon. He sits down, he's tired. He's fully man, but he's fully God, and he's tired. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. They would have had underground spring waters pulling out. I can picture one of exactly what it looks like. It's a trough. It was a deep well. This was a deep well, but she brings this bucket and to get water. And Jesus turns to the woman and says, give me a drink. Can you give me a drink? You've got a bucket? I don't have anything. Can you do it? Verse 8, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. So the disciples weren't there, they were going grocery shopping. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So she knew he was a Jew by how he dressed. She said, well, how can you even talk to me? You all don't. It's weird to see you here. You don't have any dealings with us. Now Jesus says something profound as usual. Jesus answered verse 10 and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given him the living water. He said, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for living water. Water is substance. He said, I have the living water. If you knew who I was. This text starts out with the whole point of who is Jesus. And if you know who Jesus is, it follows that you want to do some things. Now he's going to talk about the living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence thou hast the living water. She said, this is in a Palestine, they found it to be one of the deepest wells. She says, this place is deep. How are you going to give me water? She's thinking physical. Jesus is going to go a little bit different than that. Verse 13. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children his cattle? She cites an Old Testament story. She's like, it's almost like she's been like, are you better than Joseph, Jacob? For the Samaritans and the Jews, it's always about showing that they have religious superiority. Their beliefs have superiority. She's like, are you better than them? And Jesus, look at what he says. Verse number 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He says, let me tell you something. You're going to drink this, you're going to be thirsty again. But what I'm talking about, verse 14, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He said it'll deal with what's going on inside. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She still thinks he's talking about physical. I don't know what she understands, but she's like, well, give it to me, then I won't have to draw it out. So Jesus has got to get to her heart issues. He says, verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saith thou truly. He says, go call your husband. She's like, I don't have a husband. He's right, you're right. The guy you're living with is one. You've had five other husbands. Woo! Jesus saw the reality of who she is. She is not, she's living with some guy. Then she says, the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now, we don't know exactly what, we don't have anything in the text that tells us exactly what it's meaning. She's either diverting or she really is amazed. I imagine she's probably saying, I can see somebody can see some things. And I've never met you before. This is amazing. She changes the subject. I don't want to talk about that guy I'm living with. Let's talk about what we always talk about, why we're superior to you Jews. Or you. He says, our fathers worship in the mountain, this mountain. So the Samaritans worshiped at the mountain right there. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She said, you all say you got to worship in Jerusalem. Now, Jesus is not going to debate with her about place. Doesn't care about it. He's not concerned about, well, I'm right, you're wrong. He's concerned about getting her life. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me. Gotta believe. The hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. He said, a time's coming when he's crucified and rise from the dead. It's not about worshiping in a place. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers. So he's saying, if you're just arguing about places, you're not a true worshiper, because he says the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. What does God want? What does God want? Well, Jesus said right there, he wants people to worship him in spirit and in truth. Because, verse 24, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You've got to worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus, everyone up till Jesus thinks place. It's where we are and where you are. And what Jesus does is now that things are going to change when he is crucified and rises from the dead, he changes it to not the place of like a physical structure, but the heart of the person. Because a person that's worshiping in spirit and truth is worshiping all in. They're truly not hypocritical. Then she answers, the woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, that was the promised one, which is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. They were looking for somebody that would explain stuff, the Messiah, give information, bring things in order. And then Jesus says this, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm actually the Messiah. I'm the one who's going to tell you all things. In fact, I just told you everything. You're wrong. Salvation comes from the Jews. I'm sorry, I missed 22. Ye worship, ye know not what. We worship, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. That means the Jewish prophets. That means the ones like Isaiah, all of them that came. The promised Messiah comes through the Jewish nation. He says, you don't understand this, but in the sense of the hope, the truth, the oracles of God, Roman says, that's where salvation comes. And then we go back where she had said, the Messiah, he's like, I am he. This is intense. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his, so he just puts out there, I actually am the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. Now, so that's the first half. She's been exposed to the truth. She's had a discussion with Jesus. He's explained to her his goal is not to give you a place, a religion, but to make people true worshipers, which comes through experiencing him as the Savior. Let's go on. Verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples, verse number 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man say, what seekest thou, or why talketh thou with her? They're amazed he's talking to a woman. We don't do that. We're very separated. But Jesus is open to everyone. Verse 28. And the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city to saith unto man. So she's not even worried about the water now. She's excited to go tell the city, the village, about what she has seen. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She's not shamed by Jesus telling her, exposing this living arrangement with this guy. She is empowered to overcome. She's like, come and see this. He told me everything I ever did. Is this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. So her testimony got them rallied up to go check out who this guy Jesus is. 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. So they went in to get food. They come back. They're like, hey, Jesus, you need to eat. But he said to them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. He says, I've got food that you don't understand about. Therefore said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him aught to eat? So they're thinking, of course, just like the woman, physical. She's like, did somebody bring that guy some food? We went in to get some meat. And now you're telling us you got some? I don't understand that, Jesus. Now he's going to explain a little bit more. 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That what gives me true substance, he ate, but what really gives me substance is to do what God has told me and to finish what God told me to finish. Say not ye, there are yet 4 more months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are ripe already. White already to harvest, and he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto all life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. One man laboreth, and you are entered into their labors. What he's saying is there's a great spiritual harvest. He's making a point about the kingdom of God to these guys and why he came. Well, they're in Samaria, so he can have a spiritual harvest. They didn't get it. The woman comes, but now they're getting ready to get it. They didn't like the Samaritans. They separated from the Samaritans. 39. And the point is, God has prepared a harvest. We just need to get ready and be the harvesters. We need to share about Christ, the living water, do exactly what we see Jesus doing. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the sayings of the woman which testify, he told me all that ever I did. So a lot of the people just believed because of what the woman said. So when the Samaritans, verse 40, were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. So they come, they're like, please stay a couple days, please, please, please. So he stays 2 days. They want to hear more. And many more believed because of his own word. So they went beyond what the woman said. They believed because of what Jesus said. Verse 42. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of the saying, thy sayings, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. The one that would save the world. Amazing. Salvation came to them because they got salvation. They didn't get a new place to worship. And true worshipers came there. Powerful story to remind us how Jesus came for everybody. The Jews would not have said that. His followers wouldn't have said that. Like, hey, where do you think salvation's coming? They wouldn't have said to the Samaritans, because they said in the text, they have no dealings with them. But Jesus always deals with people, and he's open to everybody, and we all can have life through his name. Powerful story to look at John chapter 4. And his point to the disciples is you need to see this as harvest. You need to see that they can believe. You need to see that. John chapter 4. Well, let's go on with some more music.
When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view His blessed face and the luster of His kindly beaming eye. How my full heart will praise Him for His mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know of the nails in His hand. Oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come, and our parting at the river I recall. To the sweet vales of Eden they will sing my welcome home, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. The gates to the city, in a robe of spotless white, He will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages I shall mingle with delight, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. By the print of the nails in His hand.
He sets aside His beauty, He sets aside His majesty, to carry all our sorrows, to come and bear our griefs.
When we like sheep had gone astray,
the Man of Sorrows made the way,
crushed for our iniquities, His suffering brought us peace. With His wounds and bites
the price of mercy. This is the price he paid to win the hearts of all his people. One day we'll be with him.
We can enter paradise through Jesus Christ. We don't have to doubt if we're going to go to heaven. We just need to trust Jesus Christ. I wanted to give a shout out to the radio program and the management and all the wonderful people that make this radio station possible. You should do all you can to let your community know about this radio program. If you want to find out more information on the line, it's apradio.org. But please let others know that we do have awesome community radio with some of the best professionals in the world. Love that staff. Let's close in prayer and then we'll go out with some more wonderful music. And remember, Jesus Christ can give you living water and it won't leave you thirsty again like other things do. Jesus Christ will change your life. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you again for this time. Bless everyone that's listening. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. This has been Pastor Matthew Vroman of Safe Harbor Church. I'll see you next week on the Hour of Hope. God bless.
Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, oh Lord, I need you. Trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you.
Sometimes when life seems gentle and blessings flood my way, I turn my gaze away from you and soon forget to pray.
But when the sky grows darker and courage turns to fear, my anxious voice cries upward with words you long to hear. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, oh Lord, I need you.
cease. Keep me always on my knees, Lord, I need you, Lord, I need you. Lord, help me to remember I'm weak, but you strong. I cannot sing apart from you, for Lord, you are my song.